All right, thank you. So I'm Terence. I was a PhD student in last year, and currently I'm working in University of Pennsylvania. So today I want to talk about the project I'm currently working with Professor Martin Klassen on the twisted bibliography in steady state spectrum. So let's get started. So first of all, let me give some introduction about the material that I'm studying, twisted bibliography. So for those who haven't heard of it before, it is a material consisted of two layers of monolayer graphene. So the graphene is the hexagonal structure formed by graphite. And when you put two of these layers together and stack them at a particular angle, you create some kind of an interesting pattern like this, so-called the Mareuil pattern. So this kind of system can be periodic at some particular twist angle. And in particular, if you choose an appropriate angle called the magic angle, it exhibits a wide range of properties. Like, for example, starting from experiments a few years ago, it's been observed that it has a superconductor, it has a ferromagnetic state, and it has also has a so-called flat band. So if you plot the so-called band structure of the system, which is like the energy spectrum of the system with respect to the momentum value of its eigenstate, you get that these kind of very flat bands. So what this means is that it has a very strong interaction. So usually when we consider a system, a periodic system, the electron state might have some kinetic energy, like a free electron coupled with some potential energy that comes from a Coulomb interaction. But for this kind of system in particular, the free kinetic energy is basically zero. So this is a purely interacting, and this makes it a very good platform for a studying interaction effects in general. And this is why what makes this a very popular topic of research in recent years. So a phenomenon that I'm in particular interested in for this project is that at a particular electron filling, it is a state called a Mott insulator, which means that this is some kind of a state that should be a conductor, but because of the interaction, it causes the valence band and the conduction band to separate. So this means that because the interaction is strong, there's this gap here between the valence band and the conduction band, which causes it to become an insulator. And in particular, this is also a so-called topological insulator with a Chern number plus or minus one. So the terminology is a bit opaque, but what this means is that it has some kind of an edge state that orbits around the edge of the system. And this kind of edge state is called topologically protected, which means that it's a state that is robust against interaction. And so this makes this a very interesting model to study. And also, it has been observed in another experiment that if you align this with some external layer of hexagonal boron nitride, it has experienced a so-called quantum Weyl Hall behavior. So there are lots of background information, but the key point here is that there's this topological edge state around here, and I'm interested in studying this kind of state, what causes this behavior, and in particular, if I can try to, say, optically manipulate these topological states. So currently, the latter part is a work in progress, so I'm just going to talk about how I work so far in trying to model this kind of system. So, Now I'm going to talk a bit about the methodologies I'm used to try to model this system. So as you might know, all quantum mechanics is basically Schrodinger equation, but unfortunately, Schrodinger equation is also an exponentially complicated system. But and in particular, because for this kind of system, it has a very large electronic size, solving this naively is basically impossible. So in almost all research, we need to use some kind of approximation. And for this project, I'm using some kind of a effective tight binding model. This means that I'm basically considering the electrons to be very localized at a particular size. Now we can only need to consider the interaction between the adjacent electron sites, and the interaction between the electrons at the very far size will be basically zero and can never be neglected. And in particular, I'm also considering that I'm furthermore constraining the system to only consider the two flat bands that are near the Fermi energy, which means that I'm only considering the two electron states that are closest to the valence band and conduction band, and I'm ignoring all the other electron bands. So I'm further reducing the number of electrons that I'm considering in the system. Now, naturally, this means that I need to assume that there is a significant energy gap between the difference between the two flash bands and the other bands. And this is fortunately something that we have verified by using some kind of electronic calculation. So there's some technical details where we've used some kind of linearization to obtain some maximum localized states. What this looks like is that because we are considering a periodic system, we can consider some kind of electronic states with a translational symmetry, and then we can further transform this to obtain a state that should look like this. That is, it's localized around some kind of atomic size. There is a problem, however, because there is this phenomenon called a topological obstruction. That is, because I'm only considering the two flash bands, which are also topological, it's actually impossible to create some kind of site that is exponentially localized in one atomic site. So the way you can think about it is that because these two states are extended, it is kind of hard to make them localized. So in fact, what's been calculated in some previous study is that electron states will kind of look like this. So you see that there's this twisted body graphene's crystal pattern, and there are these alternating sites where the graphene sites are aligned together, called the AA stacking, versus the sites that are not aligned, called the AB stacking. And this is indicated by this black crystal, black hexagonal structure called the superlattice. And the electron states will, the maximum localized one, they will actually look like this. So they will be centered upon these AB stacking sites, but they'll extend all the way to the AA stacking sites, which means there are quite a lot of, which means they're quite a bit extended. They are kind of hard to localize, and you can imagine that it will be kind of hard to construct from some kind of tight binding model. For example, if you consider the state at this size, or the state at this size, or the state at this size, they will all have significant overlap due to this extended orbital at this position. So naturally, this means that we need to consider some kind of model that will take into account of this. And it's been done. There is some this kind of model from the paper from Kai and Farfik that tries to accommodate this kind of behavior. There are some technical details involved, but basically it considers the interplay between these two effects. So now I'm considering these hexagonal unit cells that are these black super lattices, and I'm considering only the two one-year orbitals that I've mentioned before in these orbitals. And there will be these two effects. One is the on-site charge term that basically energetically constrains how much electrons are occupied at one of these hexagonal supercells. And there's another term for the Coulomb hopping that allows the electron to hop from one of these orbitals in one hexagonal cell to another. So what has been found by some study earlier is that this kind of model can pretty much encapsulate this kind of quantum anomalous Hall behavior that I've mentioned earlier. So there is this parameter alpha here, and this alpha controls basically how strong the hopping parameter is. And when we increase the alpha parameter, they've calculated that the system will basically transform from this kind of strike phase to the desired quantum anomalous Hall state. And this is a good sign, because this means that the simplified model can encapsulate the behavior of the electronic system. So this is basically the backroom where we try to do our own studies. And our study is basically trying to use this kind of model and use a set diagonalization to solve for some properties of the system. So now, let me talk a bit about the results that I'm obtained so far. All right, so this is one of the parameters that I've tried to study. So for the retarded Green's function and the retarded Green's function. So this Green's function probably appears in a lot of fields, but here we've defined this as the expectation value between the creation and annihilation operators anti-commutator in the system. So you can basically imagine this as saying, if we, for example, try to add an electron into the system as a particular time t, and then remove the electron at a later time t prime, how likely is this process going to occur? So turns out this Green's function will basically tell us a bit about the spectral information of the system. So for example, if you have a non-interacting system and you try to plot this green function, you'll see some kind of a peak that corresponds to the eigenstates of the system. And so if you try to, say, calculate the spectral function, which is like the imaginary part of the system, and this is a Fourier transform function of the Green's function, and then this will basically correspond to roughly the density of states of the system. So what we see is a pretty nice pattern here. So here I'm plotting the density of states, which is this function, versus the model parameter alpha that I've mentioned earlier. So you see that this function here has a very strong peak. So this peak corresponds to the magnitude of this density of states. And as we increase the size alpha, we see that the density of states basically goes from this very strong peak here at alpha equals to zero, which can be understood as, say, because the system has a very strong degeneracy at alpha equals to zero. So there will be a very strong peak here. But as alpha increases, the system starts to degeneracy starts to break down, and we see more and more bands. And then at this critical point alpha, the system suddenly jumps to another state, and the density of states becomes very different. The way to understand this is a very crude picture of what's happening, but we can imagine that the system has a lot of states. One of them is the sprite phase, and the other one is the quantum Hall state. So at alpha equals to zero, the sprite phase will be the ground state of the system. But as the alpha starts to increase, then the energy of these two states starts to change until alpha equals to the critical point. There is this transition here where the sprite phase now becomes the excited state, and the quantum Hall state becomes the ground state. So what's happening is that the ground state changes, and that's why you see that there's this radically different behavior here, which means because now we are seeing another ground state, and this spectral information will be understandably different. So another parameter that I've tried to calculate is the density-density correlation function. So this is very similar to the retarded Green's function I've mentioned earlier, but the key difference here is that I'm calculating the expectation value for this density operator here. So now what this tells us is that if we try to, say, move an electron from a if we try to move an electron from a size k to an electron at the size k plus q, then what's this probability of this to happen? In particular, if we try to, we can also consider the probability for this electron to hop from a sublattice sigma to theta. So if I try to sum over the contribution from q, sigma, and theta, we'll see again a pretty similar pattern here. So we see that there is this transition here where the system will go from some kind of state that is very well localized. There is very little hopping to a state with many more hopping. So one other thing that I've tried to calculate is the correlation function across the different sublattices. So this is just me trying to break down the results from this picture here into the contribution from four different sublattices. So if you try to see this picture here, you can see that there is this neat pattern here where for a very small alpha created before the transition, we can see that this picture here is likely. So you can see that this picture here, there is very little density correlation between the sites from different sublattices. But as the transition happens, then the contribution from these two sublattices become much more comparable. So we see that, again, there's this clear qualitative difference between the stride phase and the quantum Hall state. So yeah, this is roughly what I've done so far. So so basically, in a summary, I've used the excited diagonalization method to replicate some of the phase transition pattern in the Karpovic model, and we see that there are some kind of pattern that suggests that there is the transition happening. And yeah, so finally, let me mention a bit about what we are planning to do next. So our ultimate goal for this project is to try to evaluate the optical, is to try to see if we can try to drive one of these quantum anomalous Hall states to another. So the quantum of lost Hall state is actually degenerate. So there are two different states that correspond to a different orientation of the edge currents. One is clockwise, the other is counterclockwise. So we can we want to see if there's a way we can use some kind of a light to drive the system from one state to another. We're trying to study this because this kind of optical perturbation is quite of quite some interest in quantum engineering and quantum computing in particular, because we can imagine that because this kind of state is topologically non-trivial, it can still be robust against interaction and in particular be robust against noise, which makes them a pretty popular candidates in quantum computation. And I think some tech company have also looked into using some topological states for quantum computation. So if this kind of schematic will work, then I think it would be of some applications. So yeah, this is my presentation, and thank you for listening. Questions?
So I don't know if this makes sense, but to try to make sense, my question is, the optical driving you do, that's in relation to your Hamiltonian, is that already incorporated into the toy model you're working on, or would that change the toy model in some way?
Yeah, that would change the toy model. And I think the exact Hamiltonian that we're trying to do is still an open question. So we've tried to think about doing, for example, a pyro substitution that involves trying to transform the operator, say C and C dagger, into C and C dagger with some extra phase E to the I A dot P. But the problem here is that as we've recently found out, that this might not actually be a gauge invariant way to model the system, because we're only considering the two flat bands. So yeah, we are still trying to figure out how to incorporate this. Questions? Okay.